Exodus chapter 3, verses 15 through 17. God furthermore said to Moses, "This is what you shall say to the sons of Israel. The Lord, the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob, has sent me to you. This is my name forever, and this is the name of all generations who used to call upon me. Go and gather the elders of Israel and say to them, 'The Lord, the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac and Jacob has appeared to me saying, I am indeed concerned about you and what has been done to you in Egypt.' So he said, 'I will bring you out of oppression of Egypt to the land of the Canaanite, the Hittite, the Amorite, the Perizzite, the Hivite, the Jebusite, to a land flowing with milk and honey.'" May God add a blessing to the reading of his word, saints. You can be seated. Receiving news can be one of two things. It can be either good or it can be bad. The past few weeks, I've experienced both. I've experienced bad news. You may have experienced this bad news before in your life, congregation. It's a little telegram in the mail, and it says that it's your time for jury duty. The next letter I'm going to get is, "You missed jury duty, and now you owe $1,000, Lord willing." But the great news I received was my wife. She got a call saying that she's hired, and she has to do a few things. The main thing, though, is to go get her background checked. Make sure that she's never murdered no one, stolen anything. Make sure that her record is clean so she can work for the schools. It's interesting when we receive news, because usually news comes with some sort of instruction. And that instruction, saints of God, and this type of news that you receive, or that we receive, is essentially what is happening in verses 15 through 17. Remember, as we come back into Exodus chapter 3, Moses is still talking to a bush. But not just any old bush. God is in the bush. And if you remember 2 weeks ago, God was only teaching something, or rather to Moses, something about himself. That he's self-existent. That he is the self, or rather, he is the cause of all things, without he himself being caused. But also, he was teaching Moses something about Moses. That Moses, your life right now, I know, is at the twilight of your years. Remember, Moses is 80 years old, and Moses may feel that he's a bush that can't burn any longer. Maybe he feels that he no longer can be that liberator that he once was in Egypt. And God appears to Moses in a burning bush to essentially tell Moses, "Moses, I don't need nothing to burn, but also I can make you burn again." But also there's another group that needs to burn again. There's another people group that needs to burn again. Israel. Israel for so long has been living under oppression. For so long has been living in slavery, has so long been living under the tyrannical rule of Pharaoh. And God here tells Moses, "Moses, I need you to go to Israel, to the people of Israel. I need you to tell them that I can make them burn again. I can make their love for me burn again. I can make their voices call upon me again." This is what we see, saints of God, in verses 15 through 17. As we come to verse 15, God will now give Moses some instructions on what is going to take place. So he tells Moses, go and talk to two people groups. He first says, go to the sons of Israel and tell them that the God of your fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, has sent me to you. And this is my name forever. This is the name that all generations used to call upon me. In verse 15, God is essentially concluding what he said in verse 14. You remember, saints, those great words of God. And God said to Moses, "I am who I am." And you say, This is what you shall say to the sons of Israel. I am has sent me to you. Here, verse 15, God, or rather in verse 14, God says to Israel, I am. In verse 15, God wants Israel to know that the great I am, the one who is self-existent, the one who is self-sufficient, the one whom everyone depends on while he himself depends on no one, this one is coming to you. He hears your cries. But saints of God, it's not merely a name that he wants the sons of Israel to know. But also, God wants the sons of Israel to remember his name. Not just know my name, but remember my name. See, it's one thing to know that God is there. It's another thing to, while you're in the midst of something, remember that God is there. This is the name, he says, that your fathers used to call upon. This is the name that Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob worshipped. This is the name that did wondrous things to your fathers. So again, he says in verse 15, this is the name that all generations used to call upon. Here God is saying, there was a time, Israel, there was a time when my name was called upon with great faith. There was a time when, in spite of your circumstance, Israel held on to who I am. Essentially, God wants Moses to tell the sons of Israel, Israel, go down memory lane. And then when you're driving down memory lane, take a right at Providence Drive. And then when you hit Providence Drive, keep going until you hit Covenant Faithfulness Lane. And then when you get the Covenant Faithfulness name, you'll arrive at a destination. And at the destination, you'll find a gate. And on that gate, it will read the words of Malachi 1 verse 2. I have loved you. I have loved you. I've always loved you. God wants Israel to remember his name. And to remember what he has done for them. Because, saints of God, please hear me if you have ears to hear. Israel can be like us, can they not? Israel is very much like us. You know, saints of God, I found that something interesting about the Bible. That while we read the Bible to learn things, the Bible is also reading us. The Bible is also putting a mirror in front of our face. And it's telling us things about ourselves. Israel, like us, can suffer from spiritual amnesia from time to time. Israel, like us, can suffer from spiritual forgetfulness from time to time. A few days ago, I took my son Malachi to run out, or rather to go and do some errands. We went to Costco. I got him a chocolate chip cookie, and he didn't even save me a bite. We then went to Lassen's. I got him some healthy M&Ms. Didn't offer me one. We then went to Five Below. I got him a set of Cars and some Twix. We ended our little time together by taking a short walk outside. But then we got home. I made him some rice and ground beef, his favorite meal. And then he told me those words that he dreads. Or rather, I told him those words that he dreads. I said, son, it's time to take a nap. It's time to go sleepy, son. So, while he's in the crib, he's fighting me while I'm changing his diaper. And he tells me, he has the audacity to tell me, Daddy, you're mean. After I fed the boy. After I got the boy a toy. After I played with the boy, after I fed the boy again, after I played with the boy one more time. But when it's time to take a nap, when his circumstance changed, he tells me on me. Church, can I tell you that we are not far off from my son Malachi? We are not far off from my son Malachi. How many times has God woke you up? How many meals has God put in front of your face? How much money in your lifetime has gone through your hands? How many times, saints of God, have you filled up your car with gas? Saints of God, how many pairs of shoes have you wore in your life? How much clothes have you put on? Let me do you one better. Did you used to be a sinner? Did you used to be a slave to sin? Were you not on your way to hell? But in God's goodness and loving kindness, did he not save you? Are you not happier now with him than you were without him? Is not Jesus the greatest person who's ever entered into your life? Church, I'm only telling you things you already know. But saints, oftentimes it's the things that we know that are the quickest for us to forget when times get hard. Oftentimes, it's the things that we know that we say amen to, that we say, yes, pastor, that is right, that are the quickest for us to forget when times get rough. Have you ever experienced that, church? Speaking for myself, I know that God can do all things. I've seen God do things in my life where the only explanation is God and God alone. But church, life is funny. Because life can throw some things at me where I quickly forget who God is and what he has done for me. Has anyone ever experienced that before? Sometimes life, saints of God, has a way of making our memory a bit foggy. Sometimes, saints of God, life brings so much rain that it makes our ability to remember how good God is so non-visible. Sometimes, church, the dark night of the soul can turn your heart so cold that you forget how much of a light God has been to you. Church, I'm not naive. I know that many of you are doing really well in life. I know that there are some of you who have no problems. I know that for some of you, you have no headaches. You are not going through any sort of suffering. There is no pain in your life. I know, saints of God, that none of you, or rather some of you, are not struggling. But saints of God, you're only one headache away. You're only one pain away. You're only one struggle away. You're only one slip away. But I praise God that you're not going through something. But I do know that there are some in here who are going through some things. I do know, saints of God, that there are some in here whose life is foggy right now. I do know that there's some in here who can't see through the windshield of their own life. I know that there's some in here where the struggles of life are not just raining, but they are hailing in your life. I know that there are some of you who are living in the dark night of the soul. Saints of God, I know that, but blessed saints, I'm not going to tell you to remember every name of God. And maybe that will bring you some comfort. I'm not going to tell you to remember every verse in the Bible. And maybe that will bring you some comfort. I'm not going to tell you to write down all the things that God has done for you. And maybe that will bring you some comfort. No, saints of God, I'm just going to recommend you do one thing. Do one thing for me, saints of God. Remember the second line of Psalm 136. You might say, well, pastor, that's 26 verses. How can I possibly remember 26 verses? Well, if you can, congregation, can I read to you Psalm 136? Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His mercy endures forever. Verse 2, give thanks to the God of gods. His mercy endures forever. Give thanks to the Lord of lords, for his mercy endures forever. Can I keep going? To him who alone does great wonders, his mercy endures forever. To him who by his understanding made the heavens, his mercy endures forever. To him who spread out the earth of the waters, his mercy endures forever. To him who made the great lights, his mercy endures forever. The sun to rule by day, his mercy endures forever. The moon and the stars to rule by night, his mercy endures forever. But here it gets better. Here it gets much better. To him who struck Egypt by killing their firstborn, his mercy endures forever. and brought Israel out of their midst. His mercy endures forever. And with a mighty hand, outstretched arm, oh, his mercy endures forever. To him who cut the Red Sea in two, his mercy endures forever. And brought Israel through the middle of it, his mercy endures forever. He brushed off Pharaoh and his army into the Red Sea, for his mercy endures forever. To him who made his people travel through the wilderness, oh, but his mercy endures forever. To him who struck down great kings, his mercy endures forever. And killed mighty kings, his mercy endures forever. King of the Amorites, his mercy endures forever. And gave their land as a possession, his mercy endures forever. A possession to his servant Israel, his mercy endures forever. But oh, it gets even better, saints of God, who remembered us in our lowly condition, his mercy endures forever. And tore us out of the hands of our oppressors, his mercy endures forever. He gives food to all living creatures, his mercy endures forever. Thanks be to the God of heavens, his mercy endures forever. Amen. I'm not saying, saints, you got to remember all 26 verses. But what I'm saying is, remember, saints of God, the second line, the most important part. God's mercy endures forever. Amen. To you who are suffering right now, God's mercy endures forever. Yes. To you whose the struggles of life is hailing in your life, God's mercy endures forever. To you who cannot see past your windshield, God's mercy endures forever. Oh, to you who's asking God, where are you? To you who are asking God, when are you going to show up? To you who keep praying and praying and praying and God has not yet fixed your problem, saints of God, be of good cheer. God's mercy endures forever. Amen. Oh, hear me, saints. Don't be like Israel, who used to call upon God's name. But when things got hard, but when times were tried, when their circumstances changed, let me tell you, church, just because your circumstances have changed, that doesn't mean that the number to God's phone has changed. Just because your circumstances have changed doesn't mean that God's nature has changed. Oh, saints of God, in other words, church, while you still got breath, call upon his name. If you got a voice, call upon his name. And if you can't speak, call upon his name in your mind. Call upon the name of the Lord. After I put my sons to bed, I usually lay on the couch, me and my wife, for about 5 minutes. Because you know, as a parent, putting children to bed is a task in and of itself. Before I get up to do what I gotta do, within seconds of putting them to bed, I hear footsteps. And usually, it's the little one that's the leader. I hear footsteps. Kai comes to me. And he comes to me calling upon my name. He says, Daddy, I'm scared. I say, what are you scared of, son? He says, I'm scared of the dark. I say, okay. Shortly after him, Owen comes right behind. He says, Daddy, I'm scared. What are you scared of, son? I'm scared of the dark. I say, okay. What do we want to do, sons? Daddy, can we pray? We pray, and it's always the same prayer. Lord, be with my sons. May your holy angels protect them. But church, can I be honest with you? There are some nights when those boys have put me through the fire and back. There are some nights when I'm so sick of them, I'm so tired of them, that I am done being their dad. That when they call upon my name, I'm so done, I tell my wife, Leela, can you handle it? Can you take this one for me? There's even some nights when I just say, sons, go to bed. Please go to bed. But church, there's a difference between Owen and Kai's father and your heavenly father. That when we call upon God's name, God will never say, I'm tired today. Holy angels, can you handle it? That when we call upon God's name, God will never say that you've sinned too much today. You've done too much. I need a break from you. No, 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 no. There'll never be a time, saints of God, when the Lord says, I've exhausted my grace by how bad you were today. You know what? I'm going to ignore you and you go figure it out for yourself. No, 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 saints of God. God will be true to what he said in Isaiah 65. Before they call, I will answer. While they are yet speaking, I will hear. He will be true to what he said in Jeremiah 29. They will call upon me and come and pray to me and I will hear you. God will be true to what St. John says of him in 1 John 5. And if we know that he hears us in whatever we ask, God will be true to the psalmist's words in Psalm 34. When the righteous cry for help, the Lord hears and delivers them out of their troubles. Saints of God, call upon the Lord and he will hear you. Call upon the Lord and he will hear you. But church, it's not just the name that God wants Israel to remember. But also, he wants Israel to know that he cares about them. You see that in verse 16. Go and gather the elders of Israel together and say to them, the Lord your God of the fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, has appeared to me saying, I am indeed concerned about you and what has been done to you in Egypt. God tells Moses to go get these elders of Israel. And that doesn't mean that, hey, go get the oldest men in the room. That's not what that means, saints of God. The elders of Israel were simply put the leaders of the day. If you wanted to have a plan, you go to the elders because they were respected. They had the most wisdom. They had the best leadership abilities. You see, God knew that when Moses goes to Pharaoh, he's going to need some backup. That when God goes to the most powerful man on the face of the earth, that Moses can't go alone. That he has to have a little army behind him. He knew that he needed some support from some respected people. But saints of God, verse 16 doesn't teach us merely that Moses needed support. Verse 16 also teaches us, saints of God, that Israel needed some support. That Israel needed some support. You see it there, saints, in that last line. Verse 17, I am indeed concerned about you and what has been done to you in Egypt. I am indeed concerned about you. Saints of God, the people of Israel needed to know who God is. Truly, truly. They need to know that God's name is I Am. Yes, indeed. But they also needed to know that God is concerned about them. If there's anything that Israel needed, it was, yes, the name of God, but also, how does he feel about us? What's his view about us? We've been slaves. Does God still love us? Does God still care about us? And here God tells Moses, you go tell them, I'm concerned. I'm concerned. Saints of God, I don't want to live so long here in Exodus 3 that I forget what's happening in our own lifetime. We live in a day where technology is advancing every single year. We got phones where if we push a button, we can ask any question and get any answer. And we can get it in seconds. We have computers that help us speak to people all over the world. We have video games and video gaming systems where we can actually be in the game that we are playing. But church, what Apple and Samsung and Sony have yet to figure out is how they can make a machine, how they can make a device that can know what we are going through. Meaning, saying Siri may answer your question, but she can never be concerned over your situation. Meaning, saints of God, the most powerful computer in the world still is not powerful enough to sympathize with our weaknesses. Oh, but church, I got some great news for you today. I know of a person who can. There is one who can do for us what the best of technology could never do for us. You may have heard him before, church. He's got more answers than Siri. In fact, St. Paul says of him in Colossians 2, in him are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. He's more powerful than your MacBook Pro. For he told the sea to be quiet. He told demons to get out. He told a man that's been dead for 4 days, get up. But saints, he's not just all powerful to heal. He's also, saints of God, sympathetic to feel. He's also sympathetic enough to feel our pain. He wept over Jerusalem, did he not? He wept over the tomb of his friend, did he not? Saints of God, was he not afraid to be deeply moved and greatly troubled? Saints of God, we know this one's name as Jesus the Christ. We know this one's name, saints of God, as Jesus the Christ. Better than your phone. Better than your laptop. Better than anything the smartest men in the world could ever give to us. Jesus the Christ. He is the God-man. The God-man, saints of God. And church, I thank God that we have a mediator, that we have a savior who is truly God and truly man, but also is truly concerned when we are in some suffering. Let me tell you why, saints. As truly God, Jesus is ever present with our pain. As truly God, God is more present to us in our pain than our pain itself. Let me give you some good news. When you're in some pain, when you're in some suffering, God is not surprised. God is not shaken up. God is not unaware. God is not distant. God is present to you and with you in your pain. But as truly man, Jesus is also not only present with us in our suffering, but he also sympathizes with our sufferings. Saints of God, we got the best of both worlds in the God-man, Jesus Christ. Oh, I love the words of that old hymn. Jesus knows all about my struggles. He will guide till the day is done. There is not a friend like the lowly Jesus. No, not one. No, not one. Saints of God, one of our greatest comforts in life is that when you're going through some trouble, you also have a friend in heaven who's gone through some trouble. That when you're going through some suffering, you have a friend in heaven who's also gone through some suffering. That when you've gone through some pain, you got a friend in heaven who's also gone through some pain. But church of God, don't misinterpret the picture I'm painting of Jesus Christ. I am not saying that we thank God that when we cry, Jesus cries. That's not what I'm saying. I'm not saying that when you're in some sorrow, Christ is also in some sorrow. I'm not saying, saints of God, that when you're in a storm, you and Jesus Christ are sitting in a room together, drowning in your tears. That's not what I'm saying, saints of God. Rather, what I'm saying is you have one who can say in one breath, come to me, all who are weary and heavy burden. And in the very next breath, he can say, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Amen. Saints of God, we have one who said to his disciples, my heart is full of sorrow to the point of death. But he also told his disciples, let your hearts not be troubled. Believe in God. Believe in also in me. What I'm saying, church, is I thank God that we have a Savior who can both sympathize and encourage, who is both weary but also conquered. Saints of God, we have one who is both weak enough to suffer unto death, but also strong enough to walk out the grave. That's what we have in Jesus Christ, saints of God. We have God and we have man. We have truly God, but also the best of man. God tells Israel, I'm concerned. He tells you, I'm concerned. He tells you, saints of God, I'm concerned. Other translations, God says, I have seen what has been done to you. It is as if God is telling Moses to tell Israel, I've read every letter that you wrote me. I read every email you sent. I listened to every voicemail. Oh, I heard every prayer you petitioned. I saw every tear come from your eye. I seen every baby boy that was thrown in the Nile. I heard every scream of my people. I saw every beating from the hands of the Egyptians. I heard every time you were insulted. I heard every time you were mocked. I seen it all. And church, don't think that much has changed today. Don't you ever think that your God is not present and unaware of what's going on. I know what CNN says. And I know what the news say on TV, but saints of God, there is one who sees and knows what's going on. God sees all the injustices in the world. God sees all the human trafficking. God sees all the rape. God sees all the child abuse. God sees every murder. He sees the political corruption. He sees every act of child abuse. He sees every lie told. He sees every angry word that is spoken. He knows, saints of God, every evil thought. He sees your afflictions, church. He sees your afflictions, church. He sees your suffering, church. He sees your pain, church. He sees when people turn their back on you. He sees those who spoke evil of you behind your back. He sees when people mock you because of your faith. He sees when people take advantage of you because of your love. He sees it all, saints. God sees it all. But here's the great thing about our God. He doesn't just see it. He does something about it. God doesn't just look from afar. He says, I'm going to do something about it. He says in verse 17, so I said, I will bring you out of the oppression of Egypt to a land flowing with milk and honey. Oh, maybe you didn't catch that. Maybe you're asleep. Maybe all the hot dogs got to you. He says, I see what's going on. And he says in verse 17, I'm going to bring you out of oppression. But not only oppression, but to a land flowing with milk and honey. Here sees it all, saints of God. But God does something about it. Verse 17 confirms to us something that we already know that's true. That God knows when enough is enough. That God knows when enough is enough. Church, here's some great news for those who are in some oppression, in some suffering, in some trials. Here's the great news. God will eventually bring you out. God will eventually bring you out. And church, this is essentially what he tells Moses to tell Israel. Israel, I know what's happening to you. I'm concerned about what you're going through. And soon, I'm going to bring you out. I'm going to bring you out. Isn't that what Israel needed to hear, saints? Isn't that what a people who's been oppressed for as long as they have needed to hear? That I'm not just going to bring you out of Egypt, but I'm going to bring you to somewhere better. Amen. Soon I'm going to bring you out. But as much as we amen that, we sometimes might have a problem with that. And it's not just the message itself. We amen that, but it's one word in that message. It's soon. Soon, I'm going to bring you out. We love Psalm 27:14, do we not? Wait for the Lord, be strong, and let your heart take courage. Wait for the Lord. Oh, we love that verse. But it's that word wait that trips us up at times. It's that word wait that causes us sometimes to be antsy. Here's the reality, church. God may not fix your problems in your lifetime. That's just what it is. God may not fix your suffering. God may not change your conditions. God may not change your circumstances in your lifetime. That's just the reality of how God works. God may not end your suffering and oppression while you still have breath. But it may be that the day you die is the day your pain stops. That just might be your providence, saints. I've counseled some people in my lifetime who are in some pain, and they would say, Pastor, I know what you're going to say. I know what you're going to say in light of my suffering. That God will eventually end my pain once I get to heaven. That once I'm in heaven, everything will be A-OK. But what about now, Pastor? What is God going to do for me now? Why do I got to wait till heaven? It's become almost a non-encouragement, saints of God, to tell someone why they are suffering, that if you just endure a little longer, in heaven there will be no more suffering, no more pain. It's almost been something of a non-encouragement to those who are in some suffering, that if you just endure, you'll find a home where there's no suffering. We're so concerned with God ending our pain now. But church, have you ever considered the now that you're currently living in? Have you ever considered the now that you're currently living in? Even if God takes away your suffering in this life, you still have to live in a world that hates everything Christianity. Saints of God, even if God takes away all of your pain in your lifetime, you still are subject to sorrow. You still, saints of God, are subject to anger, to frustration, to betrayal, to hurt. Even, saints of God, if God takes away your pains in this lifetime, you still are just one moment away from some more pain, for some new pain. You're still just one letter away, one phone call away, one doctor visit away from some new suffering. But here, God promises Israel a land flowing of milk and honey. And saints of God, this is the good news that I want to leave you with. That this land that God speaks of concerning Israel is a land of many livestock. It's a land of vast farmland, a land of freedom and blessing. But church, while this place that God promises to Israel is great indeed, the place that God promises you is far better. Saints of God, while Israel gets a land of milk and honey, saints of God, He promises you a place that is far better than the greatest of milk and the greatest of honey. He promises you a place that is better than anything and everything that this world has to offer. He promises you a place, saints of God, of no more tears. A place of no more death. Neither shall there be mourning. Neither shall there be crying. Maybe you forgot about heaven. Let me remind you of no more pain, saints of God. For the former things have passed away. Saints of God, He promises you a place where night will be of no use. He promises you a place of the light, of the lamp, of the sun will be no use. For God will be our light. Saints of God, He promises you a place where God's name will be on your foreheads. Saints of God, He promises you a place where you'll see something bigger than the Empire State Building. You'll see something more beautiful than the Taj Mahal, more grand than the Grand Canyon. Saints of God, more wondrous than the Northern Lights in Alaska, more splendid than the buildings in Rome, more incomprehensible than the universe itself. Saints of God, what I'm speaking of is that blessed vision of God. What I'm speaking of, church, is that great reward that is awaiting us in heaven when we will see God face to face. Saints of God, I'm talking about a place where you'll be more happier than at Disneyland. I'm talking about a place that you'll be more at rest than when you're laying on the beach. Saints of God, I'm talking about a place where you'll be more satisfied than when you eat your favorite food. Can I keep going, church? A place of no more crime. A place of no more abortion. A place of no more political corruption. A place of no more gender confusion. Saints of God, I'm talking about a place that is our home. A place that is for us. A place where we, who have been wandering in this wilderness for so long, can finally rest our head and not have to put it up again. I'm talking about a place where there'll be no Monday, where there'll be no Tuesday, no Wednesday, no Thursday, no Friday, no Saturday, but saints of God, every single day will be a day unto the Lord. Every single day will be a Sabbath rest. Saints of God, smile if you can. Be of good cheer. For this is your home. This is heaven, saints of God. God will bring you there one day, church. I'm going to see you one day. You're going to see me one day. I know that we might not be able to remember everything here on earth. We might not be able to remember anything. But wouldn't it be nice if we say, man, remember that old filthy dump we used to live in? Look at us now. Remember that old place we used to live in, full of sin and pollution, full of God haters? Oh, look at us now. Saints of God, Israel needed this encouragement. And saints of God, you need this encouragement. God told Moses, tell Israel, call upon me. I'm concerned about you. I hear what's going on. I'm going to bring you out. And I'll bring you to a place that is far better than the place you're living in. Saints of God, and here God sends me to tell you today, call upon his name. God's concerned about you. God's concerned about you. He knows, he hears what you're going through. And he will bring you out. Amen. He will bring you out, saints of God. Amen. Whether it be in this lifetime, praise the Lord. Oh, but if it's in the next lifetime, you just got a promotion. God will bring us there. In closing, saints, what is the message of verses 15 through 17? The message of Exodus chapter 3, verses 15 through 17 are found in Psalm 30 through 5, verse 5. For his anger is but for a moment. His favor is for a lifetime. Weeping may last for the night, but a shout of joy comes in the morning. Amen. Let's pray.